court, my name is Randy Turner. I represent Mr. and Mrs. Medlin in this case, the appellants. I'd like to start out by saying this is not an animal rights case. This is not a tort case. We're not trying to expand causes of action. This is a property rights case. The appellants in this case are not asking this court to overrule the Texas Supreme Court. To the contrary, we're asking this court to follow the Texas Supreme Court. As my brief pointed out, the Texas Supreme Court in three separate cases has held that where property is destroyed that has little or no market value, the owner may recover the intrinsic or sentimental value of the property. Those cases were Brown versus Frontier Theaters, Porras v. Craig, and City of Tyler versus Likes. The court in those cases did not say you can recover intrinsic or sentimental value except for dogs. There was no statement like that. The court's intent in those cases was to compensate property owners. For example, in the Brown case, the court said in such cases where there's no market value, the most fundamental rule of damage is that every wrongful injury or loss to persons or property should be adequately and reasonably compensated, requires the allowance of damages in compensation for the reasonable special value of such articles to their owner, taking into consideration the feelings for the owner of such property. Now, the appellee says that the Texas Supreme Court had the opportunity to address this issue in the Buckner versus Hamill case, but because the Supreme Court denied the writ, that must mean that the Supreme Court was okay with not allowing intrinsic or sentimental value damages for dogs. That's not true. In Buckner versus Hamill, the trial court, the defendant challenged the sufficiency of the evidence to support a damages finding for the market value, okay? That was the question. Was the evidence sufficient to support the market value of the dog? The Court of Appeals held that the evidence was sufficient to support the damages based on the pecuniary value of the dogs. The court, the majority, did not even address the question that we're here on today. That is, can you recover intrinsic or sentimental value? That wasn't discussed. So I don't think we can say the fact that the Supreme Court denied writ in that case, that means the court says you cannot recover sentimental or intrinsic value. I would like to point out to the court that in Tyler versus Likes, the Texas Supreme Court allowed sentimental value for photographs. Now, according to the appellee, my argument is if someone's home burns down and there's a photograph of the family's beloved dog that's destroyed, and the family's beloved dog is also destroyed, according to the appellee's interpretation of the law, the owner of the home can recover sentimental value damages for the photograph, but not for the dog. That doesn't make any sense. Now, in the Heiligman versus Rose case, the 1891 case that we're all talking about in this case, at the time that case was decided, the court had never said that anyone can recover sentimental value or intrinsic value. That wasn't going to happen for another 75 years. In that case, the court said where the dogs were destroyed, the owner could recover either the market value or the special value or pecuniary value that the dogs had to the owner. Now, and then the court said that may be ascertained by reference to the usefulness and services of the dog. My argument is, okay, we know that the Supreme Court allows sentimental and intrinsic value damages for property that's destroyed. By allowing that sentimental value damages for dogs, that's not inconsistent with the Heiligman case. Usefulness and services of the dog, what can that mean? Well, I submit that the usefulness of a dog can be the dog's role as a companion, the dog's role as a friend, the dog's usefulness in fighting depression, fighting loneliness, providing a sense of security, Dogs are useful for providing laughter and entertainment. So, and these are all sentimental value or intrinsic value considerations. So I guess what I'm saying is allowing the recovery of sentimental value or intrinsic value to dogs does not conflict with the Heiligman case. I would also point out that if the appellee is arguing that basically that under the Heiligman versus Rose case, a dog owner can't get sentimental value or intrinsic value of a dog because of Heiligman. Well, if that's true, then what are we going to do when a cat is killed, or a beloved horse, or a beloved hamster? What's going to be the rule then? Well, Heiligman only dealt with dogs. Heiligman said if your dog is destroyed, you can recover the special value or pecuniary value having reference to the usefulness of the animal. On the other hand, we've got all these other cases saying if tangible property is destroyed, you can recover sentimental value if it didn't have a market value. So what are we going to do if it's a beloved hamster or a beloved cat? Is the law in Texas really such that, okay, you cannot recover sentimental value because of a dog that's killed because of Heiligman, but you can recover the sentimental value of a cat that's killed because of these subsequent cases that say you can recover sentimental value of property? And of course, as this court's held, animals are property, dogs are property. So what do we do if a ceramic cat that's been in the family for generations is destroyed? Well, I don't think there's any argument that under Porras and Likes and Brown, the owner of the ceramic cat could recover the sentimental value if it didn't have a market value. Is that really the law in Texas, where you can recover the sentimental value of a ceramic cat, but not of an actual cat? My brief talks about the value that people put on their animals today. We're a way different society than we were in 1891. I cite a lot of studies in my brief that talk about how important animals are, dogs are to people. In Hurricane Katrina, a lot of people wouldn't leave because they didn't want to leave their animals. People risk their lives for their animals. My argument is, there's nothing in this world that has more sentimental value to people, I think, than our pets. And if you're a dog person or a cat person, you hear all the time about people that were devastated. Their dog died. They couldn't go to a jury trial because they were too upset. They had to go to a psychiatrist. They missed work. There's nothing that has more sentimental value to people than their dogs. And once again, I'm not saying, I'm not asking the court to overrule Heiligman versus Rose. I think the court has already modified Heiligman with these subsequent cases that say if there's no market value, you can recover sentimental value. And again, that's not inconsistent with Heiligman, which says you can recover the special value having reference to the usefulness of the animal. The court doesn't define usefulness. It doesn't discuss usefulness. I submit that the most useful aspect of dogs today is in providing companionship, friendship, fighting loneliness, providing security to someone who's out walking. They feel more secure because their dog's with them. Dogs have lots of usefulness that's not... So I guess what I'm saying is, allowing sentimental or intrinsic value for dogs, for when a dog is destroyed that had no market value, is totally consistent with what Heiligman said. I wanted to point out that Buckner versus Hamill, we can't look at that case and say, well, the Supreme Court's okay with the idea that you don't get sentimental value damages, because that wasn't an issue that court talked about. The Zide versus Pierce case, that doesn't apply, because in that case, the court, the plaintiff was asking for mental anguish damages. We're not asking for mental anguish damages. We're asking for the owners of dogs to recover the same sentimental value damages that the owner of an old pair of cowboy boots can recover when that pair of cowboy boots is destroyed. The Young Bus Lines versus Redmond case that was cited by the appellee, that case really isn't on point because the issue in that case was, can the owner recover the market value, can the owner recover the intrinsic or actual value to the owner let me say it this way. The court said that the owner can recover the market value of the dog and can only recover its intrinsic or actual value to the owner only if there's no market value. And so the court said that in that case, there was no evidence that the dog had no market value. In the case that we're here on today, it was pled and it was alleged that the dog had little or no market value. So that case doesn't help us. The only case I think that's close to this case is the Petco versus Schuster case. It's a no petition case out of the Austin court in 2004. In that case, the Austin Court of Appeals did talk about whether intrinsic value or sentimental value damages are recoverable. But the Austin court said that even if the Supreme Court cases allow intrinsic value in animal cases, the dog owner must show that there's no market value. Well, here we've alleged that there's no market value. So this case is distinguishable from the Petco case. Once again, this is the law in Texas allows you to recover sentimental value damages for a wedding veil, shoes, collar, watch, rings, pistol, holster, letterbox, cameo pin, photographs, family correspondence, if these things have no market value. And I submit that it makes utterly no sense to allow people to recover sentimental value for those things, but not for the things that are most valuable to us in our personal lives, our animals, or at least for most of us. And again, allowing a dog owner to recover sentimental value damages is not overruling the Heiligman case. The court would simply be acknowledging that the special value to the owner that may be ascertained by reference to the usefulness of the dog, the court would simply be following that and acknowledging that the usefulness of a dog can include these sentimental factors. And so for these reasons, we ask that the court reverse the finding of the trial court and remand the case. Thank you.
Turner, I have a procedural question. There's been a cross point raised.
Yes, ma'am. I don't think so, Your Honor, because that is something that still needs to be developed. It wasn't addressed in the trial court. We certainly would challenge that under the open courts provision of the Texas Constitution. If our position would be if you eliminate the plaintiff from allowing to sue a government employee for a common law cause of action, and then that person's also barred from suing the government, then he's left without a remedy. So I guess what I'm saying is I think this court can still rule and say that you can recover sentimental value or intrinsic value damages for a dog and then remand the case for determination of the Franca versus Velasquez issue because that would give us the opportunity, because that hasn't been developed on the record, and that would give us the opportunity to make the open courts challenge to that contention on the part of the defendant and the appellee in this case.
May it please the court. Counsel, we are here because the plaintiff is requesting that this court to overturn 120 years of settled law. In 1891, the Texas Supreme Court in Heiliman versus Rose made a determination as to the value of a dog or the damages that are allowed when there's a tort causing the loss of a dog. A dog was determined to be property, and the regular rules of damages applying to property applies to the value of a dog. The exception the Supreme Court made was that if there was any special or pecuniary value to the owner that may be ascertained by reference to the usefulness and service of the dog. And this was appeared to be determinable because if the dog had some other sort of a value other than just its market value, such as stud fees, such as a seeing eye dog, such as a dog that would be the sniffing dogs at the airport for bomb and
there weren't
such.
Sniffing dogs at airports 129 years ago, were there?
No, ma'am, there sure wasn't.
The Supreme Court didn't limit it to those types of useful purposes, did it, in the Heiliman decision?
No, ma'am, it did not.
Okay, so, I mean, you started out your statement by saying that they have asked that we reverse 129-year-old law. You've got to recognize that the law evolves over time, does it not?
Yes, ma'am, it does. The Supreme Court has not evolved this law, no. It has
said that you can recover intrinsic value for property that doesn't have market value?
It has said that on three different cases, yes, ma'am.
And dogs are property? Do you agree with that?
I agree with that. I but it's not, when they talk about intrinsic value, I have a point that I would like to make about the distinction. I believe there's a substantive distinction. The substantive distinction is that the cases that the Supreme Court has determined the use of intrinsic value as an exception to the basic rules of damages for personal property, which is market value, are items that were irreplaceable. They were keepsake items, heirlooms, shade trees, something that would take a generation to replace, family correspondence. You know, these were all items that were essentially irreplaceable.
So dogs are interchangeable?
Well, yeah, and I don't want to sound cold-hearted because I've had dogs and cats for 30 years, and I have gone through three sets of dogs. Each one of them been very tender and dear to my heart. Dogs do not live as long as humans do. Each one of my dogs died, of various natural causes as they got old, because I usually get an adult dog when I get one from the Humane Society. The thing is a dog, even though I grieved at the loss of it, it wasn't long after that before I replaced the dog. And I had developed a love for another dog. My wife replaced the cat, and I tolerate the cat, but my wife grieved at the loss of her cat. But I don't think the Supreme Court's rule on intrinsic value applies to cowboy boots. It only applies to heirloom-type items. You know, all three of those cases were very specific about that exception would apply to only things that were essentially irreplaceable. They were keepsake items. They were family correspondence, things that were not replaceable. And then they also applied it to a case dealing with shade trees, something that would take a generation to replace.
So how would you respond to his argument about the photograph of the dog versus the dog? You can recover intrinsic value of the photograph of the dog, but not for the dog if they're both destroyed in the fire?
It is a illogical conclusion, but it is, I believe, the state of the law that the Supreme Court has determined. Yes, ma'am. I mean, since Heiliman, there's been, as counsel pointed out, and I pointed out in my brief, been five cases, all of them Court of Appeals cases that deal with this issue. Out of the five cases, four of them have been within the last 20 years, one of them just last year out of Austin. in a memorandum opinion case. The Buckner case, and counsel's right that majority opinion did not address the intrinsic value issue, but there was a concurring opinion by one of the justices that mirrored the points that counsel is bringing up here with regards to, you know, the intrinsic value of the dog should be considered, but again, saying that this is a determination for the Supreme Court and not for the Court of Appeals. Petco case also make the same point, is that it's the Supreme Court that has to make, you know, the change in the law. In the Buckner case, it went up on appeal on an application for a writ of error. It didn't actually go up on appeal. There was an application for a writ of error, and it was denied. And I will concede, a denial is not a refusal. So it's not a stamp by the Supreme Court that they readopted Heilemann. All it is it was an opportunity that was lost for the Supreme Court to undertake this issue if they wanted to do so. So, you know, my point is that this is a established law for 120 years by the Texas Supreme Court. As I mentioned in the Petco case, when it was asked for in the Petco case for the Court of Appeals in Austin to, you know, adopt intrinsic or sentimental value as a rule of law, the court there in Austin stepped back and says, "Wait a minute, we are a court of appeals. This is a Supreme Court ruling as to how damages are to be assessed, and only we are bound by stare decisis." And only the Supreme Court or the Texas legislature can change this law. While, you know, those courts and this court, too, could, you know, urge the Supreme Court to take this case and to review it, I believe that this court is bound by the present state of the law. I do not think that
Let
the Supreme
Court.
Yes, ma'am. Sentimental considerations, i.e. emotional distress and, you know, lost wages and things like that, that, I mean, those are not on the table. But why does Heilemann, as it's written, not allow the considerations that Mr. Turner has urged? My interpretation of that language is that these items of usefulness and services of a dog, as I said, bestems that could be measured in some sort of a monetary value, such as the stud fees, such as a dog that has a seeing eye dog, something that has that sort of a usefulness. This kind of goes along with what the justice is saying.
But as Judge Gabriel pointed out, Heilemann was issued in 1891.
I agree, and the law has made a lot of changes in that time. I mean, we've... You know, in 1891, I agree. I mean, a small child was considered, you know, in a wrongful death case, was valued only as for its pecuniary value. It was even that for the first couple of years of my practice until the Supreme Court in Sanchez, you know, eventually undertook the case and reversed it and said that you could make consideration of emotional supportive valuations for the loss of a small child. Well, one, the plaintiff, I don't believe, has pled the usefulness. I mean, he, as I recall, and I'd have to go back and look at his pleading, but I believe it had to do with strictly the sentimental value or the intrinsic value of the dog. you know, not for its usefulness or, you know, its services. There was no allegations that it had any particular usefulness or service. It was just a sentimental or intrinsic value for the dog, to which we made special exceptions because that's not the rule of law, to which the trial court, at least as the state of the law is at this moment to this court rules, was an appropriate ruling by that court. Now, if the court, would have to expand, has to, you know, and decide in this case, has to look at their pleadings and what the special exceptions addressed, as opposed to whether or not it is a question of usefulness for somebody that isn't having depressions and the value of the dog in that sort of a case. But that wasn't what was alleged here, and that wasn't the point on this appeal. One other thing that counsel was asking or mentioned, he said that that they're not asking for mental anguish damages. And, you know, here again, I have a problem with understanding a distinction, probably a distinction without a difference. He says, well, there's a sentimental loss. There's the emotional loss of the dog. And like I say, I fully understand this. But that's an emotional or mental feeling that a person has. That's like a mental anguish damages, just termed a different way. I mean, he is, in essence, asking for a mental anguish-type damages. And I think that's what the Supreme Court was addressing in those intrinsic value cases. Those are keepsake items that were essentially irreplaceable. I mean, it would be, said heirloom, family correspondence, various types of keepsakes. It's like the – well – the tree bothers me, and the only distinction I can draw on the tree, Judge, is, as I mentioned before, is it takes essentially a generation for it to be replaced.
But in that case, as I recall, there was actually evidence that the property value had risen as a result of getting rid of the tree.
Yes, ma'am.
So they were benefited financially. Couldn't intrinsic value, you're talking about usefulness, different than mental anguish. Well, gee, I'm just upset. Usefulness could be, you know, I'm overweight and I need to go walk, and I go walk because I walk my dog. That's a usefulness, is it not?
Yes, ma'am.
But that's not mental anguish. But it's still not a market value. It's an intrinsic value, is it not?
It's a usefulness. Now, what is the intrinsic value? How intrinsic is a broader term than I think than usefulness, or at least they're two different terminologies. And, you know, if we open up this, you know, this area, then we're going to have to start defining these various terms as to, well, you know, what are we talking about as far as usefulness as opposed to just a sentimental attachment to the dog. You can walk. And I don't want to sound cold-hearted. I mean, I feel, you know, like I say, as a dog owner myself, I feel, kind of cold-hearted here. Didn't dare tell my wife what I was doing this morning. But, yeah, you can walk without walking your dog. There's an attachment that a person has with their animal, and I don't deny that. The question is how do you value that? And does the Supreme Court allow you to value that as you would, you know, the loss of, you know, my, you know, computer or my laptop? Is it just the value of the laptop? I'm pretty attached to my, you know, cell phone. But, you know, it's, again, it's just the value of the cell phone. The only thing I can think of is that the example that I made a moment ago with regards to the Sanchez, I mean, that was through the process of this whole case, was the one somewhat comparable scenario when you have the wrongful death claims for the loss of a small child. I mean, when I first started practicing law, you know, the joke was is that, you know, the plaintiff should pay the defendant for, you know, having run over their small child because of, you know, the pecuniary value gets reduced by what it costs to, you know, to raise the child. And then the Supreme Court changed the law and allowed, you know, the emotional attachments and, you know, the companionship of the child and the emotional supports. I would think that some sort of a instruction coming off of that sort of cases would be what I would look to if I was back down there in trial court with Mr. Turner to, you know, to try and put something together for a charge for a jury. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of that would be somewhat comparable. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
I just want to make a couple of points that I don't want to rehash everything, but I think the usefulness of dogs is also seen in nursing homes where they take dogs into nursing homes now, and apparently that helps the old folks. They take dogs into hospitals, take them into children's hospitals, and that helps. I mean, dogs are useful in that sense. As far as allowing, you know, how do we put a dollar value on this? Well, we put a dollar value on other intangible things like mental anguish damages and physical pain and suffering. So, I mean, I don't think that should be an impediment to allowing a dollar value to be put on the sentimental value or the intrinsic value of an animal. as far as the jury question, I would think that this would be submitted to a jury the same as a family heirloom case that had no market value. I haven't looked up to see how those cases are charged to the jury, but, you know, instruct the jury that you can award damages for the sentimental value of this dog. I mean, I would think it would be the same as any other sentimental value case. Once again, I'm saying that the Supreme Court implicitly either modified or overruled Heiligman when it comes to dogs that have little or no market value, because that's what those cases held. And I'm asking the court to apply those cases. Heiligman can't be the law anymore. It just simply can't. When Heiligman was decided, there was no sentimental value or intrinsic value. That you didn't get that for family heirlooms or anything else. For that matter, Heiligman was sort of on the cutting edge of how we're going to compensate property owners. It kind of took a big leap out there and said, well, we're not just going to do market value. We're also going to do these other things. And then the court later modified that. And once again, in my brief, I pointed out that at the time Heiligman was decided, Marconi hadn't invented the radio and the Wright brothers had not yet flown their flying machine at Kitty Hawk. So things have changed. And I think the Supreme Court recognize that. And of course, there would be no reason in the Porras and Brown and Likes case, there would be no reason for the Supreme Court in a case involving family heirlooms to say, oh, by the way, that Heiligman case from 100 years ago, this applies to that too. I mean, you know, that's why I say it was they implicitly overruled Heiligman. So thank you. Oh, do you have any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Counsel, for your arguments here today. You did a good job with a tough position there, and you did a good job, Mr. Turner. We appreciate your arguments. Your case is submitted. You will receive an opinion from the court as quickly as possible, and you're free to go about your business.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We will take a brief recess, and then we will hear our 10:30 case.
All rise.